The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255. 458 Talk, what is on your mind about firearms today? It's another great winter day in Fairbanks. I enjoyed a beautiful, colorful sunrise this morning, and the temperature is one whole degree this morning. And here at the KFAR broadcasting station, Melissa is out of town, and Johan has graciously offered to run the board for me today. Thank you, Johan. And don't forget that the Shooter's Corner archives is being kept up to date, so if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a couple of days. So what's on our agenda today? I have rescheduled some items. I said today I would be talking about Aaron Cowan's from Sage Dynamics most recent white paper, Miniaturized Red Dot Systems for Duty Handgun Use, and I'm postponing that until next week. I promise we will cover that next week. There is more about red dots I wanted to finish today first. Now, last week, we determined at what distances we should practice for defensive encounters. And today, we'll talk about whether a red dot is a benefit at certain of those distances. I also want to talk about an alternative reticle on one of the Holosun red dots. And if you are following these programs on red dot discussions on both November 10 and December 29, Chuck and Dereden discussed red dot sites, and I discussed more about them last week, January 5th. And if you missed any of those programs, they will be in the Shooter's Corner archives. And again, I will talk about Aaron Cowan's white paper next week. On January 26th, Colonel Montana Kid Hammer and Barlow, our esteemed Golden Heart Shooter Society cowboys, will be on Shooter's Corner, and we'll talk about opportunities with the Golden Heart Shooter Society and the National SASS, that Single Action Shooting Society, for half an hour, and then we'll spend the other half hour talking about cowboy guns. And I just love listening to Colonel Montana Kid Hammer talk about the guns we use in the Old West. He's extremely knowledgeable. And that will push the start of my book review on Jack Kinson's One Man War, A Civil War Sniper by Tom C. McKinney, into the first week of February. And other topics on today's agenda, if we have time, I really want to finish my lecture that I started last week. And this has to do with the sad shooting of one young child by another, all because safety rules were not followed. I'd like to discuss Oregon's new Measure 114 passed November 2022. That's the Reduction of Gun Violence Act. And it isn't just Oregon, it's Illinois, New York. I don't know why people think limiting magazine capacity is going to curtail crime committed with firearms, but some do. And one more, I have a delightful history story that will make you the smartest person in the room. And that is, what's the relationship between Samuel Colt, nitrous oxide, Charles Goodyear, and rubber? And what I don't get to today, I will finish next week, but the priority next week, first thing next week, will be Aaron Cowan's white paper on red dots for duty handguns. If you want the whole picture of his research, please go to his website, sagedynamics.org, and that's org instead of com. And halfway down the page, you'll find the PDF of his white paper, and you can download it and read it for yourself. I think it is important, and you will learn a lot from it. Now, I've got some announcements. Chuck Indereden's next Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes are February 11th and 12th and March 25th and 26th. You can sign up at mylegalheat.com under classes, type in your zip code, and Chuck's class dates will come up. And we already have a caller this morning. Caller, you are on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Ron.
But what I want to know is, have you or any of the listeners out there had any trigger time on a Staccato 2011?
Okay, a Staccato 2011. I do not. Why are you asking?
I've got a bug that's about to eat my foot off.
Oh, okay. Do you want to elaborate on that bug?
Well, it just it looks awfully good, but it's also awfully pricey.
Okay. Oh, okay. 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 That. Okay. We have a consciousness bug. Okay. All right.
Thanks, Laura.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So a Staccato. It's a 2011. And call in if you have any experience with that, and let us know your thoughts and opinions. Okay. Thank you, Ron. So you can sign up at My Legal Heat for Chuck's Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes, or you can visit Chuck's website, c4traininggroup.com. Sign up through the link at his website. And then on January 21st and 22nd will be Chuck's new class, Defensive Handgun for the Armed Citizen. Sharpen your shooting skills, learn more about situational awareness, and practice scenario-based decision-making for self-defense with a firearm. And we have another caller. Caller, you are on the air. Are you there?
This is Steve. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, regarding Ron's question,
yes,
I've handled both the Staccato as well as the new Springfield Prodigy double stack 1911.
Okay.
And of the two, I'm much more impressed with the half as much cost, in other words, half the cost of a Staccato.
Yeah.
Springfield Prodigy 1911.
So, okay. So you like, go ahead.
That's all. For what it's worth, I'm much more impressed with that than I am with the Staccato.
Okay. So your vote goes to the Springfield Prodigy 1911.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Now you guys have me curious, and I'm going to have to go find that and try it. Okay. So one more class of checks that's important coming up March 12th, Red Dot Transition Course, and that's going to be held at TVSA. So call Chuck at 844-966-4079 for more information, or go to his website, c4traininggroup.com, and sign up. And folks, if you're kind of on the fence about these, ask a friend to take the class with you. Friends always have a lot of fun, friends and family taking a class together, and then when you get home, you have someone you can discuss what you learned with and reinforce the skills that you just learned. Now, last week, I talked about red dots, mostly using information from two sources: addressing distances at which defensive encounters happen, and at what distances we should practice. And the first was a letter to the editor in the January-February 2023 issue of American Handgunner magazine, and the second was from a LuckyGunner.com article titled The True Distance of a Typical Gunfight by Chris Baker, June 4th, 2021. And we determined those distances, and I'm going to recap that in a minute. Today, we're going to switch gears and talk about a second LuckyGunner.com article by Chris Baker titled, Do You Need a Red Dot Sight on Your Carry Pistol, dated May 25, 2021? And next week, for sure, as I said, we'll talk about Aaron Cohen's white paper. So let me quickly recap from last week. Last week, we were trying to determine from the articles I mentioned and their research what would be a good distance at which to practice using our red dot sights for defensive shooting. And we talked about the data from the NYPD, the LAPD, the FBI, Tom Givens Rangemaster student encounters as those students reported back to him. And we have another caller on the line. Caller, you are on the line.
Yeah, hello. I know something about a double barrel 45. I think it's made by Arsenal or something. Is that what you're talking about?
Okay, so we're talking about a Staccato, and Steve just called in and comparing that to the Springfield Prodigy. And what are you suggesting?
There's a brand called Arsenal. It's a double barrel 45 auto.
Oh.
Two complete barrels and action. Yeah.
$67,000,
that's all.
How much is it?
Six or seven.
Okay, I haven't seen that, so I'm going to have.
It's been a few years since I first saw the design.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a look at that.
Lots of ammo. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. And we are, let's see, about ready to go to break here. Let's take a break, and I'll start up again right around the corner. Stay tuned.
Hey, Interior Alaska, it's winter, so it's dark out. Go figure. LED Moose lights literally save lives. At Auto Trim Design, our LED lighting specialists can help you find the best options and sizes for your vehicle. We carry all the lighting you'll need for a safe winter in Alaska, whether it's on your four-wheeler, snow machine, truck, or car. Don't risk your family's life in the dark. Stop by Auto Trim Design today, 2550 South Cushman, to protect yourself for tomorrow.
Life is the road trip we all travel. We're all on that road, moving one direction, forward. Even when road conditions may slow us down, still, we move forward. And the roads improve once again. Arctic RV encourages you, keep moving forward, because the road conditions will improve. Although Arctic RV is closed for the winter, they will reopen Monday, April 3rd. See you this spring. Travel, explore, camp, and enjoy the beautiful Alaska in comfort. Arctic RV, rough it in style.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Flurries likely today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 3 above. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. Scattered flurries likely again tonight. Lows dip down to about 11 below. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Highs level off around 2 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255. 458-TALK, and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today, and if you have any information on the Staccato 2011, please call in and let us know. Steve called in and likes the Springfield Prodigy better, but if you've got experience, call in and share with the rest of us. Now, getting back to the red dots and the distances we should practice at, the distances defensive encounters happen on average, we learn to expect real-life encounters to happen in the 3 to 7 yard span, but we should practice at about 20 to 25 yard distances. At the 20 to 25 yard distance, we'll be able to perfect our fundamentals and understand both our capabilities and what we can do with our particular red dot mounted gun. All the guns are different. All of our abilities are different. So you need to know what you can do at 20 to 25 yards. And after practicing at 20 to 25 yards, we'll likely be just fine at the 3 to 7 yard distance. If we only practice at 3 to 7 yards, we may not be able to take those longer shots. And to remind everyone, what I talked about last week, the Texas West Freeway Church incident was about 25 yards, and the Indiana Mall incident was at about 40 yards. So if you think you will be a good Samaritan in a longer distance shooting, then definitely practice at some additional yardages so that you know you can do that successfully. For an encounter in your home, measure the furthest distance you might need to shoot an intruder. Maybe that's from your bedroom down through a long hallway or from where you might be to your front door. And these are solid measurements that you can take and you can practice for. So to sum this up, practice to develop and maintain your skill level and practice for what you will do. That's important. Practice for what you will do. What should we be reading? What classes should we be taking? And what YouTube demonstrations should we be watching on defensive distances and red dots? Well, for classes, take Chuck Enderiden's Red Dot Transition course. That's going to be on March 12th. And articles and YouTube videos that will help us out, Aaron Cowan, that's sagedynamics.org. Steve Fisher, his nickname is Yeti. Sentinel SentinelConcepts.com, Scott Jedlinski, Jedi. That's ModernSamuraiProject.com. And Chuck Inderaden. And you know where his website is, C4TrainingGroup.com, and he's the one that's giving local classes here in Fairbanks. Now, there's one more I think you will enjoy watching, not particularly on red dots, but for defensive situations, John Correa, that's C-O-R-R-E-A, and he runs Active Self-Defense, and he's also on YouTube, so you can look John Correa or Active Self-Defense up on YouTube, and I think you will learn quite a bit from watching these videos and listening to him break down the incidents, listening to John Correa's commentary. So now let's move on to new material. Red dot optics are, they're mainstream now, but many of us, when we buy a new gun, we're going to immediately mount a red dot. We know that when we go into the gun store. The rest of us who don't yet use red dots, and more when we buy a gun, we're making sure that the slide is factory cut when we buy the gun. It comes that way and ready to mount a red dot in case we want one at a later date. And price, there's not much variability in price of the red dots now. They're affordable. And mounting systems have become less proprietary to specific manufacturers. And I certainly don't hold myself out as any sort of expert on red dots. I have them, and I use them, and I use lasers too. Now, the author of the article I'm taking information from writes that he's not an expert either. So he lists the experts, and those are the people I just listed: Scott Jedlinski, Steve Fisher, Aaron Cohn, and I added Chuck Inderaden. Now, all four of those gentlemen teach red dot optics classes on a professional level, so if you need help, you know where to get it. Now, advantages of red dots in general. The author of the article, Chris Baker, writes, quote, "When you narrow it down to simply making holes exactly where you want them as fast as you possibly can, there's no question a red dot is superior to iron sights. That doesn't mean everybody always shoots optics better than irons. There's some learning involved. And there are special cases like people with astigmatism who might have some issues with the dot. But in general, given the right guidance and adequate time practicing, the evidence seems to indicate that the overwhelming majority of shooters perform better with a red dot," unquote. And why Chris Baker says overwhelming majority of shooters perform better with a red dot, he writes, quote, "There are a lot of reasons why that's the case, but it basically comes down to the fact that a dot sight more naturally integrates with how our eyes and brains normally function. We can keep our vision and our attention focused on the target and simply superimpose the dot over that. It's not an abstraction of our point of impact represented by lining up squares or circles." And those squares and circles, of course, are the, like, iron sight, so it's not an abstraction of that. "The dot is more intuitive and less work for our brains and our eyeballs to do," unquote. And we're all different. If some of us are not good with iron sights or have vision problems affecting iron sight use, then we might benefit more from using a red dot. Now, I personally have astigmatism. I would like to try the inverted V-shape reticle dot system. If I do, I'll report back to you if I can get a hold of one of those here in town, if it works better or worse for me than a dot. And actually, I can make the dot quite clear as a dot shape if I move my head in an awkward position to get the sweet spot on my progressive lens glasses onto that dot. But it isn't a natural position for me, and I doubt that in an emergency I would revert to a less than natural awkward position. So if you have great vision and are fast with iron sights, you might still benefit from a dot system, but the benefits might be more in terms of situational use. In other words, situational use, it might be the split seconds of speed gained with a red dot that will help you in a defensive situation. Now, Baker provides his personal experience, saying that the most dramatic benefit he noticed using a red dot was at 15 yards, it's 45 feet and beyond. Okay, so 15 yards and beyond, the most dramatic benefit for him. He cut his group sizes and times in half on drills at 25 plus yards using the red dot. Within 15 yards, there was an advantage, but it was less noticeable. So with the longer distance, the advantage is more noticeable. And that takes us to those measurements for defensive encounters we talked about earlier. Baker wrote, quote, statistically, the majority of defensive shootings take place at less than 7 yards. So it's totally fair to ask whether the benefits of the red dot really translate to the real world, unquote. And this, of course, was what some of Baker's readers questioned. In the real world of defensive encounters, are they so close that a red dot will not make much of a difference? And I would say, yes, the benefits do translate into the real world for the majority of us. In Aaron Cowan's white paper, which is more scientific in nature and presentation, the information is easy to understand on that added benefit, so I'll cover that next week. But in his article on real world, well, it's a section in his article on real world relevance, Baker says, quote, I think the advantage that's probably most relevant to the armed citizen is that the dot allows you to stay target focused. We don't always realize the full benefits of being target focused when we're at the range. It might help with things like target transitions, but generally, when we're shooting static cardboard and paper, there's not necessarily a massive advantage. On the other hand, in a violent confrontation, seeing the sight without compromising your vision, your visual attention on the threat has some huge benefits, unquote. And I think that's important for us to consider, especially if you're on the fence about red dots. Out of necessity, we normally practice using stationary targets in indoor ranges most of the year up here in Fairbanks. Outdoors, we can stagger a number of targets at multiple distances to practice our skills, but it really takes either turning targets or moving targets to realize the full benefit of a red dot system for self-defense applications. And that's because we have to combine the speed of acquisition with what might likely be a moving target. And that is probably what will happen in real life. And then Baker notes that the best hard evidence for what I just quoted in Baker's words comes from who? Aaron Cowan's Sage Dynamics white paper. Quote from Baker, as part of his extensive red dot sight testing, he ran 24 students through a few force-on-force scenarios. Half of them had red dots on their SIM guns. Half of them had iron sights. Each group, on average, had a similar level of skill, training, and shooting experience. There was not much difference in the number of rounds fired by the two groups. But the iron sight shooters missed completely about 41% of the time. The red dot shooters missed only 27% of their shots. But here's the big stat that stands out to me. This is Baker talking. I'm quoting Baker. The iron sight shooters landed 28% of their hits in the head or upper chest, what we typically consider good hits. For the red dot shooters, that number was 70%, unquote. And I like those numbers. 70% hits for the red dot shooters and over the 28% hits for the iron sight shooters. That's a big difference. That's a small sample size, but we'll talk more about this when I discuss Aaron Cohn's white paper. And I think we've established the benefit of having dot sights on our defensive handguns. So are there any downsides? Well, these mechanisms have been on the market long enough that although they could fail, durability likely won't be that big of an issue if you choose a solid brand model and don't drop your gun. Cowan's white paper will address this, so we'll talk about that next week. Battery life is close to a non-issue if you change out your battery on a regular basis. Some models have solar backup nowadays, too. Make sure when you practice that you do your practice sessions that account for dot failure. So pretend like your dot has failed. Occasionally turn off your dot and confirm your ability. Practice effectively acquiring your backup sights, your iron sights as backup, while your red dot is turned off. From my own experience, one important factor for me is to choose a dot sight that either does not obliterate my rear sight's effectiveness, or has a robust rear sight built into the dot unit that quickly aligns with the front sight. Let's see, we about ready for a break? Okay, let me just talk a little more, and we've got about a minute. What causes new dot users frustration? Have any of you been frustrated with your red dots? Well, Baker has a subheading, Finding the Dot. And I've watched bullseye shooters and concealed carry students and youth shooters wave their guns around trying to locate the red dot to get on target. It's called fishing for your red dot. And after I explain how to acquire their red dot instantly, most of them get it, but some never do. And I think we are going to break now.
Think about 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Okay. One of these days, I'll get this straight. Okay. So when we get back from break, I'm going to share some of Baker's thinking. It's the presentation of your gun that's the tough part of all of that, and you've got to get that down correctly. So hang in there, and I will talk to you again around the corner.
From the Satellite West Studio, satellite-based voice communications, you're listening to KFAR Radio.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. Attorney General Merrick Garland today announcing the appointment of a special counsel to investigate the discovery of classified materials at a facility President Biden used after his vice presidency and at his Delaware home.
This appointment underscores for the public the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters.
Another special counsel is currently investigating classified materials found at former President Trump's Florida home. Oklahoma has carried out its first execution of the year.
62-year-old convicted murderer Scott Eisenberg was pronounced dead at 10:15 local time after a lethal injection at the Oklahoma State Penitentiary in McAllister. For the killings of an elderly couple and a string of other crimes, including carjacking and kidnapping 2 decades ago.
Fox's Jeff Manasseh. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Republican who lost an Anchorage House race in November has appealed a judge's ruling that found Democrat Jennifer Jenny Armstrong met residency requirements to take office and accept Armstrong as the winner. Republican Liz Vasquez and 4 others filed an appeal of Superior Court Judge Herman Walker Jr.'s decision on Tuesday. The Supreme Court plans to hear arguments on Friday. Walker issued his ruling on Monday after hearing the case in late December. The new legislature convenes next week. And finally, a far-right internet personality who streamed live video while he stormed the U.S. Capitol has been sentenced to 2 months of imprisonment for joining the mob's attack on the building. Anthony Gionet is known as Baked Alaska to his social media followers. He declined to address the court before U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden sentenced him on Tuesday to 60 days behind bars, followed by 2 years of probation. He pled guilty in July to misdemeanor count of parading, demonstrating, or picketing inside a Capitol building. Gionet grew up in Anchorage, Alaska.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
When you know the person who works on your car or truck, that's worth something. It gives a level of confidence that's hard to come by. That's Rogers Auto Repair. Family-owned and operated, Rogers is your complete automotive repair shop. Tune-ups, winterizing, even engine and transmission rebuilds are all done right in their shop on Dale Road near the airport. So call the folks with experience and a sound reputation. Call Rogers Auto Repair. You'll be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
For many of us in interior Alaska, our vehicles are our only transport. At Auto Trim Design, we know how important it is to protect your ride from the environment. Our winters are cold, dark, and slippery. But have no fear, Auto Trim Design is here. With accessories like bumpers, heated seats, remote starts, moose lights, Arctic spray-on bed liners, and much more to protect you, your family, and your vehicle. Stop by today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman, to protect your ride from Old Man Winter.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? And again, if you just tuned in, if you've used a Staccato 2011, and you have any opinion on it, one of our listeners called in earlier and would like to hear your opinion. We would all like to hear your opinion. So that's the Staccato 2011. You can talk them into buying one, maybe. Okay. So before break, we were talking about presentation being important, how you present your gun, and that's the tough part of this, because if you get your presentation right, your dot's going to be right where you want it. You have to get the gun on target from the holster as you extend or punch out, they call it, or for instance, in bullseye shooting, from the ready position. And Baker points out that with a long gun, we have a shoulder mount and a cheek weld. That positions our eye in a relatively the same spot for our optic each time we mount the long gun. On the long gun, we have four points of contact: two hands, our shoulder, and our cheek. But with a handgun, we only have two points of contact, both hands. And when we extend our handgun forward, in a sense, that gun is free-floating, controlled by only our arm and hand muscles. It's not supported with a stationary contact points on our body like a rifle would. And we have a caller. Caller, you're on the line.
Hey, Laura, this is Ron again.
Yeah.
You're talking about the presentation. One of the things that I gleaned from Jedlinski's videos is that I think it goes like this, that the grip is your draw, the draw is your presentation, and your presentation is the shot. In other words, it's all one flowing motion.
Right, right. I hadn't heard it described that way, but you're absolutely right. And I'm going to talk in a few minutes about how I get that, how I develop that motion and how I teach it. It might be different for a lot of us. But I break it down into little skill chunks.
Yeah, for those interested, I would strongly recommend checking out Jedlinski's videos. They're impressive.
Okay. All right. And I'll be giving these websites probably again next week, too, just because these are the best places to go.
Okay. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Unless you want to take a class directly from Chuck on red dot transition. Okay. Now, if we trained well with using our iron sights only on our handguns, we can easily and quickly acquire that front sight. And then we can adjust our rear sight so that we have a perfect sight alignment and get our sight picture. We cannot do that with a red dot. If we don't present the gun or fire the gun, as Ron was saying, if it's not exactly correct, we won't immediately see the dot. And now, if you have suppressor sights or decent iron front sights and a usable rear sight system and your red dot, you can cheat with your dot. And I want to say, don't do that. It's a very bad habit. Aligning your irons and your dot should be right where you zeroed it to. But it isn't how we should be using our dot system. You shouldn't be aligning your dot with your front sight and your rear sights. And I've seen students do this. It is ineffective and it's time consuming, and it completely defeats the purpose of having a dot system. So learn to use your dot correctly. We should understand how to present our handgun so that when the optic comes in line with our eyes, the dot is exactly where we want it to be. And I can tell you my method, and you can read articles, but this is why some of us should take, I keep pushing Chuck's classes, but really take a class, take Chuck's red dot transition class, because sometimes you get into a loop, and if you don't figure this out fairly quickly, you get into that situation where you're relying on lining up your dot with your iron sights, and that's going to get you in trouble, and it will defeat the whole reason why you have a dot in the first place. So in the future, I can share my method on how I train, but it mostly has to do with breaking down the presentation into skill chunks and perfecting those movements that bring the gun's optic to my eye level very smoothly and quickly. But you have to perfect each segment of that one step at a time. Now, just know that to be successful with a dot system, working on correct presentation and building that motor memory is paramount. It's easily learned with proper practice. And present to the same position each time you draw your gun. If you are consistent, your dot will be right where you want it. And just a brief time out. I think it was early last year I started talking about Chris Sainog's training idea from his book, The New Rules of Marksmanship. And I talked about breaking down training into skill chunks and to practice each skill chunk to perfection before stringing them all together. And you would practice each step of the draw process to perfection and then tie them all together into one smooth draw and presentation, or as Don was saying, your presentation is pretty much your shot. This is how we develop myelination, and so that when an emergency does happen, we automatically kick in with those pre-developed skills. Now, we have to learn the proper holster draw and presentation to get that red dot immediately in front of our eye. So let me steal a quote from Bruce Lee that I read in Chris Sainog's book. Quote, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times," unquote. So back to our discussion. I mean, quickly mention lasers versus dot systems. I've used lasers a lot. I have them on my revolvers that I was using for self-defense carry guns. And I have astigmatism, and that condition does not interfere with using a laser. I can clearly see where the laser beam is. Astigmatism does interfere to some extent with dot use because that dot is sort of a blur. And sometimes I see a blurred dot overlying a blurred dot, and I have to think which is the real dot. And this is a problem when I was shooting NRA bullseye. It has not been a problem with defensive shooting practice because I'm not trying to shoot 50 feet at a quarter inch bullseye. Now, I may not have the smallest groups with my red dot in my defensive shooting practice, but my shots will be adequate. They will do the job. And those of you who need to use tiny pocket pistols, you may not find them optic ready, with optic ready slides. And they're more and more coming that way these days, but some of the older ones are not. And we have another, okay. Now, you might be better off with a laser on those tiny guns. I love my lasers, and I love that they don't interfere in any way with my iron sights. But as I've moved towards semi-automatics, I am using red dots. Now, some manufacturers are building into their units, onto their red dot units, what I call dot acquisition aids. I just made that up, dot acquisition aids. We now have a circle dot configuration. My SIG Romeo Elite has that, and I haven't spent enough time with it, but when I do, I'll report back to you how I like it. We also have something called an advanced combined sighting system, and this is the one I want to try out. It's a Holosun model with what they call the advanced combined sighting system. It's Holosun's HS507C-X2-ACSS reflex sight. And I wish they'd just give these things names that we could talk about instead of all these numbers. They all have these numbers. But anyway, this reflex sight has, and this is a quote from Midway's website, "The revolutionary patent-pending ACSS Vulcan reticle provides a large circle guiding the eye towards the 10 MOA center chevron, eliminating one of the biggest challenges for shooters new to slide-mounted red dots. If you are off-center, a portion of this outer circle will appear in the window to give you instant reference on how to get centered. The circle phases out of the sight window completely when the center chevron is properly aligned in the sight window. And this patent-pending reticle function significantly improves sight acquisition. It takes the common frustration of hunting for the center reticle out of the equation. Don't need the circle. It can easily be deactivated and extend battery life even further," unquote. Now that model...
Let's go ahead and take a break.
Oh, okay. We're going to take a break now. Don't mind us. Okay. We're going to take a break now, and I'll finish up around the corner. Stay with us.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep.
In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in his saddle on a horse that is syncopated. There is such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run
for when they hear the fella's gun, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin, rootin', tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe.
Explore winter trails you never thought possible. Stand, float, walk on snow with better traction and stability than walking down the street. Modern snowshoes are the perfection of a thousand-year-old idea. They're lightweight and versatile, easy and fun to use for all ages. If you can walk, you can snowshoe. Get the exercise you crave. Let it snow. Go explore. Start today. No lift ticket required. But first, find the right style and the right fit at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hey, Interior Alaska. It's winter, so it's dark out. Go figure. LED moose lights literally save lives. At Auto Trim Design, our LED lighting specialists can help you find the best options and sizes for your vehicle. We carry all the lighting you'll need for a safe winter in Alaska, whether it's on your four-wheeler, snow machine, truck, or car. Don't risk your family's life in the dark. Stop by Auto Trim Design today, 2550 South Cushman, to protect yourself for tomorrow.
Life is the road trip we all travel. We're all on that road, moving one direction, forward. Even when road conditions may slow us down, still, we move forward. And the roads improve once again. Arctic RV encourages you, keep moving forward, because the road conditions will improve. Although Arctic RV is closed for the winter, they will reopen Monday, April 3rd. See you this spring. Travel, explore, camp, and enjoy the beautiful Alaska in comfort. Arctic RV, rough it in style. Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 3 above. Today, under overcast skies, northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tonight, scattered flurries likely. Lows dip down to about 11 below. Daytime highs approaching 1 below. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. And let's see, we just talked about that ACSS system, which is kind of like a halo around the edge of the glass. And if your dot is not right where you want it, it's going to show in the edge of the glass, and that will alert you to move the gun up or down or to the side. And it should be instant. It's sort of a guide, and that will help you get that dot right on target, and then eventually you won't need that anymore. Now, that same model has what they call a solar fail-safe, and a lot of models are coming out with this now. I've noticed if your battery fails, I don't know what happens if your battery fails when you're indoors, but at least when you're outdoors, I think it powers your battery. On the Hollisons, this HS507CX2 ACSS, that letters ACSS, I don't know if I said this already, stand for Advanced Combined Sighting System. And I'm thinking I might like this ACSS, Advanced Combined Sighting System. I might like to have it. I at least want to try it, but I may not need it since I'm not new to red dots. But I like to try examples so that I'm able to teach and have examples for students to try out, and so that I can intelligently talk about them. So this might be the model that Steve called in about a few weeks ago. I'm not sure. It has the inverted V, and it has the bullet drop compensator. Actually, this might be as good a time as any to share a quick review on that Hollison ACSS system. And so that it doesn't get frustrating, if you go, keeping all this information straight, if you go to the Primary Arms, it's primaryarms.com website, and take the link for red dot sights with ACSS, you'll find 7 models listed with varying features for various uses. And the one I mentioned, this HS507C, it's sold out on their website, but you can purchase it at other places. Now, I'll stick to talking about this one unit. I'm not going to keep saying all those numbers. This one ACS unit, which might be a good choice for our self-defense pistols. John Curry from Pew Pew Tactical wrote an article titled, oh, here we go again, Holosun 507CX2 ACSS Vulcan Red Dot Review, Hands-On and Video. It's dated June 10th, 2021. And Curry writes that he's tried a lot of Red Dot units, but this unit we're talking about is the one where he says everything clicks. And Curry notes that Pew Pew Tactical likes both Holosun and Primary Arms. So when Holosun and Primary Arms collaborated on this new system, he wanted to try it out. So on this Holosun 507X2 unit for handguns, you have what he calls a signature ACSS Vulcan 10 MOA chevron reticle. The unit has 12 brightness settings, aluminum housing, and weighs 1.5 ounces. And the unit uses a single CR1632 battery side loaded. It has a solar cell array on top, and that array will detect ambient brightness and adjust the unit's reticle brightness to match its default auto setting. The solar panels not only detect light for that brightness adjustment, but they can power the optic if your battery dies. Now, this Holosun 507X2 has a runtime of 50,000 hours. That seems pretty standard right now in the industry on its middle brightness setting. You can put the unit in automatic mode or manual mode. In manual mode, you press a button to determine what brightness setting you want, and this will override or disable, if you will, the automatic light sensor and the automatic brightness adjustment. And the unit has a lockout mode that prevents you from making inadvertent quick button presses to adjust brightness and keeps the unit where you had it set. And I think it is the Vortex Venom units I have that sometimes drive me crazy because you have to hold one of the brightness buttons down for a few seconds to turn the unit off. And in the process, I inadvertently change the brightness level. And then I have to mess with that for a while to get it back where it should be. And I have a lot of those. I have those on all the Smith & Wesson Victories that we use to teach the kids in pistol classes. Never had a problem at all with the unit. Never had any of those units. I think I have 12 of them. Never had any of them go down. But those crazy buttons, you inadvertently change the settings when you're trying to turn it off. The Holosun 507X2, it's got shake awake technology, and most of the units these days do. It goes to sleep after 10 minutes of inactivity to save the battery. And then after 10 minutes, as soon as you touch your gun, the unit will come back on again. And that, let's talk about that outer ring. And that assists in acquiring the red dot. And if you're not going to use it, you can disable it to save battery. And that's what I like about this. To gain your expertise, you can use it, and then you can disable it. You're not stuck with it all the time. So this halo, this outer ring, may save with some frustration. Here's a quote from Curry. Because of the 10 MOA reticle size, the Holosun 507CX2 feels easier and faster for newer and intermediate shooters to pick up, and that 250 MOA ring around the outside edges of your sight picture aids in that. And honestly, it feels almost tailor-made for where my personal skills are as a shooter. At the very least, it addresses the exact issues experienced when shooting handguns with red dots. And the cool thing here is if you're punched out correctly, you actually shouldn't see the halo portion of the reticle at all. It's only really visible on the peripheral edge of your field of vision if you've got the pistol canted incorrectly. Therefore, if you draw and present the gun but don't immediately see the reticle, you can still see the circle in the upper edge of the optic. So you'll know immediately you've got that muzzle canted downward. This allows you to make a quick adjustment and get that chevron on target. As someone whose previous experience with handgun red dots usually involves a lot of fishing for that tiny point of light, this is a welcome improvement, unquote. Now, Curry goes on to discuss that some of us may think that ACSS feature is a crutch. Maybe that particular shooter would not develop proper presentation and hone their fundamentals. And I just don't know. I learned to shoot with iron sights and perfected my fundamentals that way. I perfected my red dot skills by shooting bullseye. I learned in bullseye how important it was to be consistent with my position to acquire the Red Dot instantly, and maybe that ACSS feature is like Red Dot training wheels. Could it cause a new and intermediate shooter to bypass their development of proper fundamentals and presentation with a Red Dot? I don't know. Whether the ACS feature will be valuable in helping a shooter develop proper muscle memory is something we would have to individually assess. Sometimes aids do help my students, and some students never do need aids. They just need to understand solid principles, and I believe practice with those skill chunks. If there's a problem, just work on that problem till you got it solved, and then string it all together with the rest of what you're doing. And we all are different in how we acquire our expertise. I think for advanced Red Dot shooters, especially for those of us with eye issues, just having that chevron, that inverted V instead of a dot, might make this unit worthwhile. Curry indicated he spent several weeks dry practicing, drawing, and presenting the gun from the holster before he did his test shoot. He refined his skills during dry practice because he made small corrections based on Hollison's quote, outer ring feedback, unquote. So once he transitioned to live fire, he was happy with his target results at 20 yards, hitting steel at 30 yards. And here's a quote from Curry. The end goal here is working up to getting the reticle on whatever target your eyes are fixed on without having to consciously think through the steps. So the fact that I can spend a minimal amount of time training with a new optic system and come away from the experience feeling reasonably competent is a pretty big plus in my book, unquote. Now, in Curry's words, the brightness settings look fantastic. He said midday desert sun. He had no problems with his reticle washing out or blooming or ghosts. And this might have to do with the automatic light sensor adjustments in the unit. And he praised the chevron shape, the upside down V reticle. Curry did try out the built-in BDC reticle, that's the ballistic drop compensator on the reticle. With 9mm, the tip of the inverted B is your precision point of aim at 25 yards. Right beneath that is the 50-yard zero, and the bottom leg of the inverted B is the 100-yard zero. And there's a chart on the Primary Arms website that shows the ballistic drop scale for 9mm, 45 ACP, and 40 caliber. And if you use this on a rifle, it shows the measurements for several rifle calibers, too, on that Primary Arms website. And, of course, if you're shooting steel or something where you don't care about precision so much, just put the chevron on the target and shoot. So Curry noted 4 negatives, but a few of these are no different than using a round red dot, same problems. And one is the further out you go, the smaller your target appears. And he thought since the chevron is a little larger than a red dot, the chevron is going to cover your target more. And until I try this, and I'm going to try to find one of these units to try, I may even buy one if I have to order it. Until I try it, I don't know. But a dot is opaque, and the chevron is 2 skinny legs with an open middle. And at any rate, unless you're shooting at a small bullseye far away, I can't see this as a problem. Curry says the unit works well with night vision on its lower power setting. I've never tried vision, but that's something you might want to know. And he says the control buttons are easy to use, and he keeps using the term intermediate shooters. And maybe that means if you're an experienced red dot shooter, you might not need that directional halo to guide your dot acquisition. And if I'm thinking correctly, but not having tried that directional halo yet, I think it might benefit even the best shooters who find themselves in an awkward shooting position due to a circumstance. You know, you might not be standing straight up. You might have to shoot with one hand. You might be at an odd angle. You might be kneeling. You might be in an awkward shooting position, and that halo can help. And don't forget what we've learned from Chuck and Arena, and I just want to say Chuck uses that Hollison 509T, and that is also on my list and possibly buy. Boy, I'm going to need more handguns to put all these red dots on. Well, I don't think I'm going to have time to get into any more deep subjects today. Let me go over the safety rules once more, because I did want to talk about safety, and I can talk about that incident next week. Always keep your gun pointed in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. always keep the gun unloaded until ready to use. Please remember those. And one more last minute announcement. You know, we have the Indoor Cowboy Action Shooting Group. That's different from GHSS. So these are the Indoor Cowboys. They're shooting all winter long. It takes place at TVSA. And now, since February, they're shooting every Saturday. Well, not every Saturday. They alternate Saturdays and Sundays. So this, the next time they're going to shoot is Sunday, January 22nd. And then in February, it's going to be February 4th, which is a Saturday. Then Sunday, February 12th. Saturday, February 16th. Sunday, February 28th. And you can go to the TVSA calendar and look there on Saturdays and Sundays and see what dates their cowboy shooting is. It's at 1 p.m. You set up. Shooting starts at 2 p.m. And they'll loan you a gun if you don't have a gun. And we'll talk to you all next week. We'll talk about Aaron Cowan's white paper.
A special counsel probe of the president. Lisa Brady, Fox News.